produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. From Washington, D.C., voters in three states and several municipalities will decide Tuesday on proposals to depenalize the possession and use of cannabis by adults. The following is a summary of these initiatives. Colorado, Amendment 44. The Alcohol Marijuana Equalization Initiative would revise state statutes to eliminate all civil and criminal prohibitions on the private possession and use of up to 1 ounce of cannabis for anyone age 21 or older. The measure, sponsored by Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation, or Safer, has been endorsed by numerous Colorado newspapers, including the Aspen Times, the Boulder Weekly, and the Aurora Daily Sentinel. Last year, voters in Denver passed a similar municipal initiative by 54%. Next, Nevada, Question 7. The Regulation of Marijuana Initiative would remove all criminal and civil penalties for the private possession and use of small quantities of cannabis by those aged 21 or older. The measure would also seek to create a statewide system for the taxation, legal cultivation, distribution, and sale of cannabis to adults by licensed vendors. Question 7 has been endorsed by the Las Vegas Review-Journal and more than 30 state religious leaders. A similar proposal was rejected by Nevada voters in 2002. Next is South Dakota. Initiated Measure 4 would allow state-authorized patients to possess up to 6 plants and or 1 ounce of cannabis for medical purposes. Qualified patients must possess a physician's recommendation to use cannabis and must register with the State Department of Health. Non-registered patients, or those who possess greater quantities of cannabis than allowed under state law, would have the option of raising an, quote, affirmative defense, close quote, of medical necessity at trial. Voters in 8 states, Alaska, California, Colorado, Maine, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington, have approved similar measures since 1996. Next is Eureka Springs, Arkansas. A proposed citywide ordinance sponsored by the Fayetteville University of Arkansas chapter of Normal would direct local law enforcement to issue a summons in lieu of a criminal arrest for adults found to be in possession of up to 1 ounce of cannabis and or marijuana paraphernalia. Quote, "The message of this ordinance is that people should not use marijuana, but should also not lose opportunities for education and employment because of such use," close quote, says Ryan Denham, who spearheaded the proposal. The measure is the first marijuana depenalization initiative to qualify for the ballot in Arkansas. Under state law, possession of up to 1 ounce or less of cannabis is a criminal misdemeanor, punishable by up to a $1,000 fine and up to 1 year in prison. Next is Santa Barbara, California. Measure P, sponsored by Sensible Santa Barbara and the University of Santa Barbara Chapter of Normal, directs municipal police to make all law enforcement activities related to the investigation, citation, and/or arrest of adult cannabis users their lowest priority. It would also appoint a community oversight committee to monitor police activity as it pertains to marijuana law enforcement. The measure has received endorsements from the Santa Barbara Independent, the Santa Barbara News Press, and City Council member Doss Williams. Seattle voters passed a similar proposal in 2003, resulting in a 75% reduction in citywide marijuana arrests. Next is Santa Cruz, California. Measure K would mandate police to make all law enforcement activities, quote, relating to adult marijuana offenses their lowest law enforcement priority, close quote. The measure further directs city officials to refuse, quote, any federal funding that would be used to investigate, cite, arrest, prosecute, or seize property from adults for marijuana offenses, close quote. The Democratic Party of Santa Cruz County, as well as several local politicians, are backing the measure. Next is Santa Monica, California. Measure Y directs police to make law enforcement of minor marijuana possession violations their, quote, lowest law enforcement priority, close quote, and mandates the city council to issue semi-annual reports on the, quote, estimated time and money spent by the city on law enforcement and punishment for adult marijuana offenses, close quote. The measure has been endorsed by the California Nurses Association and the Santa Monica Democratic Club. City officials in nearby West Hollywood enacted a similar ordinance this summer. Next is Missoula, Montana, Initiative 2, an initiative to alter law enforcement priorities in Missoula County, directs local police to make the enforcement of minor marijuana violations their lowest priority, and appoints a community oversight committee to ensure that the police are obeying the voters' mandate. According to the initiative's sponsors, Citizens for Responsible Crime Policy, a Missoula citizen is arrested every 33 hours on marijuana-related charges. Under Montana law, possession of up to approximately 2 ounces of cannabis is a criminal misdemeanor, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $500 fine. Extensive coverage in audio is presented on Normal's Daily Audio Stash podcast at normalaudiostash.com. More information about all of the initiatives is available at norml.org. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. First up in the Audio Stash today, we'll go down to Arkansas and then out to Colorado in our continuing coverage of the very important marijuana initiatives taking place next week. Election Day next week is going to be a very important day for marijuana law reform in America. With statewide initiatives in 3 U.S. states regarding cannabis, voters have the chance, especially in Colorado, to enact positive change for their communities. We've been covering Amendment 44 in Colorado, the Marijuana Alcohol Equalization Initiative, extensively and for good reason. The organizers and regular members of Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation have created the type of energized grassroots support that's not seen enough out there in the Rockies. Joining us today on the Audio Stash is a man being watched for his rising star in the politics of America, Safer Campaign Director Mason Tvert. Mason, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Great to speak with you today, Mason. Last Friday's events in Denver at the Capitol really showed off the broad grassroots support in Colorado for Amendment 44. Were you surprised to see such a strong showing of support there at the Capitol building?
Yeah, it was really amazing to see so many people turn out on a weekday morning, right when most people are getting into the swing of things at work. We had a ton of people. I wish I could put a specific number on it, but it had to be in the realms of 60 to 100 folks, all out there wearing green campaign shirts, waving signs, and really excited to be taking part in such a historic event.
Mason, Safer passed a municipal initiative there in Denver last year by 54%, and the drivers in Denver were showing their support for the statewide initiative as well.
Absolutely. We've seen a great deal of support here in the metro area, but all up and down the Front Range. I mean, we got our start at the University of Colorado, Boulder, and had garnered quite a bit of attention up in Boulder, as well as at Colorado State and Fort Collins, so we've gotten quite a bit of attention there. So we really, all up and down I-25, the Front Range area between Boulder, Fort Collins, Denver, and even down in Colorado Springs and out in Grand Junction on the Western Slope, where we also have a few college campuses, we're seeing support from college students and professionals and adults alike.
And we heard some of the most extreme and desperate statements from the prohibitionist drug warrior opposition out there. Seems like you really have them against the ropes.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys are scared of something. I mean, they see that people are starting to open their eyes to how insane these marijuana laws are, and they're doing everything they can to sway them. If that entails lying and if that entails fear-mongering, then, you know, so be it. That's what they're willing to do, but we think the people of Colorado are too smart to fall for that.
Yesterday, we highlighted the economic data from Colorado Springs, showing that $80 million a year is contributed to the local economy just in Colorado Springs by the current underground marijuana trade. Is that data surprising to you, or is it in line with how many regular marijuana consumers there are in Colorado?
You know, it goes both ways. I mean, I'm, you know, totally aware of the fact that there are a number of people down in Colorado Springs who are recreational marijuana users, but what's also very interesting is there is a very good organized group of patients and care providers there when it comes to medical marijuana. There's also a lot of young people down there, a good counterculture going on, so it doesn't surprise me that there is a lot of marijuana use, but what does surprise me is how much there is and the economic impact it has. I mean, it's really what that article that you alluded to is saying is that marijuana sales in the money brought in from selling marijuana and then putting that back into the economy is really propping up that county and that part of the state. And if we took that money out, if we somehow did find a way to eradicate marijuana use, we'd be really taking a harsh toll on our economy.
And this report in the Colorado Springs Business Journal even alluded to the fact that legalization would likely bring the price of marijuana down in Colorado.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. I mean, yeah, what they really said is that I don't think they really expressed concern so much as pointed out that if all of a sudden marijuana is legal, then they will now be, the price is going to drop and they're going, like you said. But what they don't really get into, but they kind of do earlier in the article, is they talk about, you know, how much money is going to be brought in through taxes, and tax revenue would clearly be enough to cover that amount, as well as the money saved on enforcement and so on. So it's clearly could be a lucrative industry.
Mason, again, last year a similar municipal initiative passing by 54% in the city of Denver. Going into this without too much crystal balling here, is next week looking about the same type of margins?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I never like to, you know, as someone who's running a campaign like this, like to think of whether it's going to win or lose. I mean, if you kind of assume that you're going to win, then you have the chance of being let down. If you kind of assume you're going to lose, then you're probably not going to try as hard as you should be. But what we can do is do whatever possible to educate people, and that's really what this campaign comes down to. It's what it was about in Denver. It's what it is about now. I mean, obviously, the win is a nice residual effect, and I know a lot of people would think that that's kind of crazy to suggest that winning the election that you sought out to win is just peripheral and not exactly your goal. But our true goal in all of this is to educate people about marijuana and about the harms of marijuana prohibition. In particular for our organization, it's about simply getting people to understand that marijuana is not so scary. It's a drug less harmful than alcohol, and one people should not be punished for using. And you know, I think that the people of Colorado, if they hear this message, if they are made aware of this, the fact that marijuana is relatively benign, it is less harmful than alcohol, I don't know why they would want to continue punishing adults for using it. And we kind of work under the notion that we're out to change the people and not so much out to change the policy. We think that if we do a good job of educating people and they are aware of the ins and outs of this thing, there's no reason why they wouldn't support it.
Also, Mason, this week, the Washington Times newspaper ran a profile of you personally. Were you expecting this type of attention from national media as the campaign coordinator there?
Well, you know, I thought it was funny that right off the bat she called me pudgy, but I guess I can hang with that. You know, I guess, you know, she calls them like she sees them. But, you know, I think it was a great article. I think it really hit at the heart of the issue, which is that this is a movement of people, a movement of citizens who think that our laws need to change, and our country is a country based on what the people want, especially when what the people want is grounded in fact and science. Obviously, if people wanted segregation, that was not grounded in fact and science. It was grounded in fear. And, you know, right now what we do see grounded in fear is marijuana prohibition. I mean, this is simply our government trying to maintain a failed status quo, and we have citizens, everyday citizens, myself included, but also folks like those who are out Friday afternoon. We had everyone from 8-year-old homeschooled children to college students to retired people, 50, 60 years old. These are just people who live everyday lives. They work hard, and they don't think that they should be criminals, and they don't think that those people they know who use marijuana should be criminals. And they're finally making their voices heard, and that's what's so important about this is that, it's not so much what the article in the Washington Times said, but the fact that there was an article in the Washington Times, that this is an issue that's being talked about and is not going to go away. And that's what's so important is we've made this a debate in Colorado and now even around the country and really fueled the debate over this issue.
Also, Mason, last week with Governor Owens descending the steps of the Capitol and also in a simultaneous descent in his rhetoric, speech, and probably political career, this issue seems to be having an even broader political impact.
Absolutely, I think your listeners know. I think what you're referring to is Governor Owens, the top official in our state, standing side by side with a bunch of uniformed police officers who feel the need to police social behavior, nonviolent social behavior. This group of people calling a group of peaceful protesters fascists. They suggested that we were Nazis and said that we should be wearing brown shirts instead of the green campaign shirts that we had on, which is really quite appalling, not only as a Jewish person, but just as a human being who recognizes the difference between a group of people that were seeking genocide of an entire species versus a group of people who are protesting laws that punish nonviolent people who use marijuana. I really don't see the connection between the two. That was just one of the very appalling things that came out of our governor's mouth. The other thing came out from a sheriff's mouth, Sheriff Wagner from Park County. This is a guy who was recently dragged into the national spotlight because he's the sheriff of the county where Bailey, Colorado is. That's where the school shooting occurred just recently, a horrific event. But he tried to use that horrific event for their own political gain. They actually stood there and read off of a script that the unexpected horrors of marijuana would rival the unexpected horrors of a school shooting. It was the most reefer madness moment I've ever witnessed in my entire life. I'm not very old, but I've heard a lot of BS about marijuana and its supposed harms. This really was the bottom of the barrel.
And do you think it might be getting to the point where these government officials and law enforcement are really compromising their authority by using this mindless, desperate rhetoric and speech? I mean, let's say Amendment 44 passes next week. Where would these individuals stand with the public in putting the will of the voters into practice?
You know, it's a great question. I think that it really, what it comes down to is they're not going to have a choice. They're going to be forced to deal with this law because if it passes, there's not really anything they can do. I think that there will be a lot of criticism of these individuals. I think even if this law does not pass, there's going to be a lot of criticism of these individuals. A lot of people are going to look at this and say, well, wait a minute. You know, I pay my local taxes. I pay my state taxes. Is to elect this man and have him be on the streets and directing police efforts. And what is he spending his time doing? He's standing on the steps of the Capitol suggesting that if we make marijuana legal, the sky is going to fall and it's going to be the end of the world. People don't want their taxes and their money going towards that. They don't think it makes sense. They know that this sheriff, I mean, these are small town people. They've seen the sheriff consume alcohol. They know that he's completely hypocritical on this issue. They hear other law enforcement officials like Norm Stamper, the former chief of police of Seattle, who is out there speaking on our behalf. They also hear from great individuals like Sheriff Bob Broaddus of Pitkin County, Colorado, Bill Masters of San Miguel. These guys, you know, are very honest about this. They say, you know what, should people use marijuana? You know, probably not. It's not really the best thing for society for people to be using any drug. But the fact is that right now we're hurting people more by keeping it illegal than we would be if we allowed adults to use it. I think that the people of Colorado are going to keep that in mind when they go to the polls to elect their sheriffs next time.
Mason, I want to thank you again for taking time in a very busy week to speak with us here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. And I look forward to speaking with you next week on the 8th.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Mason Tivert is the campaign director for Amendment 44 in Colorado, sponsored by Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation. More information can be found at saferchoice.org. As we continue Normal's daily audio stash coverage of the marijuana initiatives up for a vote next week, let's travel down south to the smallest municipality voting on marijuana ordinances, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Ryan Denham is with the Normal chapter in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and has been the campaign coordinator for a local deprioritization ordinance in Eureka Springs. Ryan, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Great to speak with you again, Ryan. And some local officials have spoken up in favor of marijuana deprioritization. Let us know what's happening there in Arkansas.
Yeah, well, the meeting was taking place for the mayoral candidates to speak why they should be elected, and also the other two initiatives to appear on the Eureka Springs ballot. Now, I got up there and did a five-minute presentation of why marijuana should be made a low priority for the city, explaining 70% of drug arrests are for marijuana in Arkansas and other facts of that nature. And we did have, you know, some regular questions that are typical about, you know, the gateway theory and if growing marijuana would increase in Eureka Springs. Somebody even insinuated the police would make less money if this law passed. The surprising aspects of the meeting were the director for the CAPC, which is the City Advertising Promotions Group, which makes all the advertisements for the tourist town of Eureka Springs. She actually thanked me for the publicity that I had gotten in the town in the LA Times and Chicago Tribune. We also had the mayor actually stand up, and instead of asking a question, she said that her brother was a drug task force agent and that, you know, he had seen countless lives destroyed by marijuana prohibition. And, you know, he came to the conclusion that marijuana should be legalized. And you could tell she definitely supported our issue when she made that statement.
Ryan, having the mayor stand up and then mention her brother in law enforcement who also wants to see an end to marijuana prohibition, that's just incredible support for reform in the town of Eureka Springs.
Yeah, it was really great. And everybody applauded, and a lot of people got up and shook my hand and, you know, thanked me for what I was doing. So there is no organized opposition whatsoever in the town against this issue. You know, you could tell there were some people there who weren't in favor of it, but I'd say the vast majority are in favor, you know, that I've talked to so far.
And Ryan, what's so unique about that community that shows this level of support for deprioritization of marijuana?
Well, you know, there's a lot of hippies in the town. I don't know if you read the LA Times article, but she describes that hippies came in 1973 and never left. So there's a big art culture down there. There's a lot of musicians. You know, it's a tourist town, so it's a real get away from the city and just enjoy nature in the mountains. So, you know, I think there's a lot of down-to-earth people that do really support what we do. But then again, there's the whole other side of this town, a very conservative side of this town. You know, there's a seven-story statue of Jesus, and, you know, we are still in the buckle of the Bible Belt.
And do people play a religious card in this debate there in Arkansas?
Not really in Eureka Springs. I've encountered them. I'm sure it is there and does exist. But in Fayetteville, where I live at, where the University of Arkansas is located, that definitely comes into play quite often.
What do people say in that context?
You know, you shouldn't be able to alter your mind with drugs. You know, it goes against the Bible. And, you know, I try to explain to them that it says in the Bible, you know, God made every earth-bearing seed for our use and consumption. And also, it's a morality issue, in my opinion. You know, it's not right to allow somebody to go to prison for a plant. And, you know, whether you agree with marijuana use or not, I think it comes down to a morality issue sometimes for some people.
Ryan, you mentioned the LA Times article. How have local Arkansas media covered the Eureka Springs ordinance?
Well, we've been on TV in Little Rock. We've been on TV here in Fayetteville. We've been in the biggest paper that's distributed all over the northwest Arkansas area. They really haven't given us that much coverage. I mean, honestly, we've gotten more national coverage than we have local, which is unfortunate. A newspaper down in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, got to talk to the gubernatorial candidates of Arkansas. I don't know if you realize, but Asa Hutchinson, the former DEA campaign director, or DEA director, is running for governor of Arkansas right now. And they actually asked him what his opinion was on the issue, and the Democrat gubernatorial candidate, Mike Beebe. Now, Mike Beebe said, "I'm the attorney general, and I won't advocate anyone breaking the law." And then Asa Hutchinson said, "I'm against it. I'm totally opposed to it. I believe it's the wrong message. I want Eureka Springs to be a haven for family tourism and not for marijuana tourism."
Also, Ryan, with the national media, do you think this ordinance is going to perhaps shed a different light on that region nationally?
Absolutely, and for Missouri, too, since it's so close to the border. Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought it was going to get the complete opposite remark, you know, from the advertising group, thinking it would deter, you know, tourists coming into the town. But I think they understand that it's probably going to increase tourism, and, you know, outsiders are going to, you know, hear about this cool town called Eureka Springs and, you know, want to go check it out. So, and I definitely think it's going to have a positive influence in the state of Arkansas as a whole, in the legislature and our elected representatives.
And finally today, Ryan, how much money is being spent statewide there in Arkansas right now to arrest peaceful marijuana smokers?
Arkansas last year spent $29 million to enforce federal and state marijuana laws. But, you know, actually it's higher than that. You know, you can't account for all the police time spent on it. But it's at least $29 million, and actually 70% of those, or 90% of that 70% is for possession only, like, you know, a lot of other places in the United States. It's a shame. You know, we are the second poorest state in the nation, and, you know, we're one of the top meth states also in the country. So, you know, it's really ridiculous.
Ryan Denham from Normal in Fayetteville, Arkansas, thanks again for joining us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week.
I really appreciate it, Chris.
Ryan Denham is the campaign coordinator of the Eureka Springs, Arkansas Marijuana Deprioritization Initiative. We'll have extensive coverage of the results from next week's election in Wednesday, November 8th's edition of Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Stay tuned. We're going to round out our audio stash today with some great reggae from down in Arkansas from Joseph Israel. Ryan Denham from the Arkansas chapter of Normal and the campaign coordinator for the municipal initiative in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, turned us on to this musician. Joseph Israel shows his support for Normal on his stage performances down there in Arkansas. We've got links to Joseph Israel at normalaudiostash.com. Here's Gone Are the Days.
So many paths, only one road to choose. If you live for yourself, you know you will lose. In your heart, let true love rule. We are made with godly attributes. Things gonna be right when it's right there we choose. Yes, we gotta live up now. Yes, we gotta live up now. Yeah, 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 yeah. Gone are the days that I used to slumber. Gone are the days that I used to wonder. These are the days the prophets look for. Gone are the days I am awake like a storm rising. Where do we begin? Some have a lot and most have nothing. Out of the mouths of the babes and suckers then. Ask on the question brutality. The system not providing for none of release. But they go on in a luxury. But them living unjustly. Causing enough bloodshed. Another youth is dead. The judgment from Babylon can't be true. We giving thanks for our daily bread. Yes, my eyes stay red. Hey. Gone are the days that I used to stumble. Gone are the days that I used to wonder. These are the days Revelation spoke for. Gone are the days I am awake. The world leaders, them are working in vain. They made the millions off the slave trade. Now they flooded the ghettos with guns and cocaine. Then go down the drain. Lift up your voice, lift up your heart, lift up your spirit. Go to the eternal ever living, the one who gives it. Cause he's the ancient of days, it's him that we praise. He the only one can bust all the chains. Live up now, hey, we gotta live up now, yeah, yeah. Hey, gone are the days that I used to stumble. Gone are the days that I used to wonder. These are the days the prophets looked for. Yeah, yeah, gone are the days. Israelites, they are awake, yeah. Famines and pestilence and war dead upon the land. Said I know your kingdom is at hand. Earthquake, where you gonna stand? Your house built upon sinking sand. When your enemy happens to be your friend, the love of grown cold in the land. Work hard, I give a helping hand. The race might be hard, but it must be ran. Yeah, gone are the days that I used to stumble. Gone are the days that I used to wonder. Revelations spoke for. Yeah, yeah, gone are the days
days that I used to stumble.
Gone are the days that I used to wonder.
These are the days the prophets look for. Israelites are away. Gone are the days.
That was Joseph Israel with some reggae from Arkansas. Joseph generously donating that track for play today because he supports Normal in Arkansas. That track was called Gone Are the Days. We have links to Joseph Israel at normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.